This is a Charles Russell Speechlease podcast.
Welcome to the second in a series of podcasts on the topic of economic substance. My name's Dashi Wijethunga, and I'm a partner in the Zurich office of Charles Russell Speechlease. It's great that today I'm joined by two of my colleagues, Rupert Ramsey from our Zurich office, as well as Eleanor Boot from our London office.
Hi, I'm Rupert. I'm an associate in the Zurich office, and I'm qualified in England, Wales, and the British Virgin Islands.
Hi all, I'm Eleanor, and I'm an associate in our London office, and I'm qualified in England and Wales.
This is our second podcast, where we're going to be focusing on the topic of economic substance. And today we're going to talk about changes to the economic substance laws as a result of the coronavirus. We'll be focusing on the British Virgin Islands, but we'll also be comparing what's happened there to other jurisdictions, such as Cayman, as well as the Channel Islands. And we'll be talking about a couple of key questions, such as whether filing deadlines are being postponed, as well as how the travel restrictions are affecting the directed and managed test. So firstly, Rupert, perhaps you can talk us through whether filing deadlines are being postponed in the BVI.
Thanks, Darcy. Well, the short answer to this question is no. There have been no changes to filing deadlines as a result of COVID-19. And I think the takeaway here is that from a BVI perspective, clients should continue to follow the existing deadlines, which they would have been communicated to them. So for the vast majority of entities, the financial period ends at the end of June this year. So certain information under the BOSS Act 2017 must be reported by the end of December this year via that BOSS Act, that BOSS system. So in short, that's the BVI. Are there any jurisdictions where there are postponements, Darcy?
Yes, the other jurisdiction where there has been a postponement is the Cayman Islands. Now, many of you will know that the first notification requirement was originally set for 31 March of this year, which obviously that deadline has now passed. Thankfully, though, the authorities in the Cayman have actually postponed that notification deadline, and it now sits at 30 June of this year. Now, apart from that, in the Cayman, the economic substance reporting deadline remained as it is, the earliest date being 31 December 2020. So, Rupert, have any of the requirements in the other jurisdictions been relaxed? Perhaps you can talk us through the BVI.
Thanks, Darcy. Yeah, so in the BVI, to an extent, yes, but this isn't a big change. Firstly, the relaxations, to the extent there are any, are modest. And second of all, they're really only affecting one part of the substance test. That's the directed and managed test. It's perhaps useful just to take a quick look at what this test is. So this is the test that the relevant activity is directed and managed in the British Virgin Islands. The other substance tests are, of course, that there's adequate expenditure, employees and appropriate premises in the British Virgin Islands. And thirdly, that there's core income generating activity carried on in the British Virgin Islands. And we won't go into any details on those second two categories. We're just focusing on that first category, the directed and managed test. And earlier in March of this year, the ITA, the International Tax Authority of the British Virgin Islands, announced that they proposed to adopt what it called a reasonable and practical approach, where legal entities needed to make adjustments as a result of the coronavirus, and they would not seek to penalise those legal entities from an economic substance compliance perspective, where they had made those adjustments. And they listed a set of what they called remedial actions or recommendations. The first of which was, where possible, recourse should be had to the appointment of alternate directors in the British Virgin Islands in order to meet substance requirements. Secondly, all directors do not have to attend board meetings in the British Virgin Islands, only as many as are required to make the meeting court, and virtual meetings, given social distancing protocols, may be preferred. Thirdly, not all board meetings need to be held in the British Virgin Islands, only those related to core income generating activities must occur there. I think this is an interesting point because it arguably conflicts a little bit with the commentary set out in the rules. These are the rules to the economic substance legislation. And those rules refer to there being an adequate number of board meetings held in the British Virgin Islands. It doesn't differentiate between core income generating activity and non-core income generating activity. So this update potentially goes further by explicitly requiring all meetings, if they can concern core income generating activity, to be in the British Virgin Islands. I think that's all we can say on this particular point at the moment, but I think it's an interesting one and we will watch out for it in future. Fourthly, where it is still not possible to have a board meeting in the British Virgin Islands or to meet some other substance requirement due to restrictions, whether in the British Virgin Islands or otherwise, due to the coronavirus, then entities are urged to retain documentation to be able to support such claims for the applicable periods of time affected. And finally, requests should be made to the ITA, the International Tax Authority, for any extension time within which to comply with notices, along with any supporting evidence. So that's the sort of list. It's a non-exhaustive list, in my view, but it gives us a sense of what the ITA are thinking about. But I think that one of the things that we need to flag about this is that, and where clients and BVI companies need to take note, is this is only a temporary arrangement. And therefore, every effort needs to be made to comply with the full substance requirements. And the ITA make this actually clear in their announcement. And so the practical and reasonable approach described above can only be used where entities need to make adjustments to their normal operating practices, so far as these are necessary to manage the coronavirus. And so the upshot is that entities need to consider that this is a modest and temporary relaxation, firstly, and it's only covering one part of the test. And so consideration of whether an entity can benefit from this update or announcement or utilise any of these remedial actions needs to be done on literally a case-by-case basis. And this is not a one-size-fits-all approach. And even if an entity does want to take advantage of these things, then it needs to document this accordingly. Doshi, are there any relaxations in Cayman similar to this or linked to this?
Yes, actually, there are. But I think it's fair to say that these relaxations are relatively limited. So in Cayman, the DITC, or the Department for International Tax Cooperation, conscious of the fact that COVID is going to impact travel arrangements, has noted that in relation to the directed and managed test, the DITC will consider the fact that board meetings may have been required to be held virtually on a case-by-case basis when determining whether an entity has passed or failed the ES test. So the takeaway there is obviously there is a reference to meetings being held virtually, but again, the DITC is going to look at entities on a case-by-case basis in order to assess whether what they've done is sufficient. So that's the first part. The second part is that, unfortunately, there's no concession regarding the requirement that core income-generating activities in relation to a relevant entity's relevant activities must be carried out in the Cayman Islands. Eleanor, perhaps you have something else to add.
Well, I would just summarise the key takeaways which are relevant across the different jurisdictions. In particular, as you've just said, Darshi, that core income generating activities do still need to be taking place in the jurisdiction. Across the board, the relaxations are relatively modest. They're definitely temporary, and changes to practice should be documented. The changes only really concern the directed and managed elements of the test, which is what you'd expect considering the effect that COVID-19 has had on companies' global mobility.
And I think that's a really helpful summary. So putting that together, what should my entity be doing in light of the restrictions imposed by coronavirus?
Well, firstly, it will be really important for entities to ensure that their constitutions and their working practices and policies do actually allow for remote or virtual meetings to take place. Secondly, they'll have to consider board appointments. Do they actually have appropriate people in the jurisdiction, such as the BVI, who can be appointed to the board if they've not already got people appointed? Adequate expertise will be important when considering who they should appoint to these roles.
That's really interesting, Ellie. I think what I would add to that is remembering that it is the strategic decisions for the relevant activity which are required to be taken in the British Virgin Islands. I think one needs to think about what these strategic decisions are and if any of them are coming up for consideration. This may be an exercise that's never really been done before, and one can understand why, but I think boards may need to consider this, and they may also wish to delay and plan to do so some of these decisions if it's appropriate. And so I think that's something that's going to be very important. And I think if a decision, a strategic decision, has to be taken now, then I think it's obviously going to need to be, and that can be taken by written resolution or a telephone meeting and documented accordingly. I think also another thing I would add is that entities need to be looking at the list of core income generating activity against the relevant activity and consider whether the matter under consideration could or might be categorised as a core income generating activity. If it is, then the board meeting must be in the BVI. If it isn't, then in theory your board meeting could be held outside the BVI. But I think they need to be thinking about that list of core income generating activity more generally. And I think finally also, as been touched upon already, ensuring records are kept of national and international travel policies, restricting travel for directors and officers, and the periods for which those restrictions are in place. And additionally, making sure that any previous board meetings have been written up and recorded, especially if they were held in the British Virgin Islands. Joshua, are there any other points you would wish to add?
Just as a general point, it may be a good idea for a company to think about appointing an alternate director. Obviously, the alternate director will be someone that will be physically resident in the BVI, but here the requirement to be suitably or professionally qualified is going to be important. The other important point is just to be aware of updates and look out for announcements from the ITA, remembering that countries are slowly coming out of lockdown and the rules and the concessionary treatment that we're talking about today may also change at some point. So if we're not prepared, Rupert, what should we do then?
Well, if you can't meet the test, then the entity will fail the economic substance requirements and may be subject to enforcement action and penalties. That's the general point. And we don't propose to discuss this in any particular detail on today's podcast, but suffice to say that an entity that fails the economic substance requirements because it has failed to satisfy the directed and managed test will likely, in addition to any fine imposed, be required to take corrective action in respect of the breach. In other words, the problem will not go away until the entity fixes the directed and managed requirement, in addition to anything else if there's been a breach elsewhere. So now we're halfway through June. What should entities be doing now more generally, Anna, in the context of economic substance?
Well, firstly, and across the jurisdictions, entities should check and, where necessary, update any of their legal entity and relevant activity classifications that they may have already carried out. And then for those specifically BVI legal entities whose financial periods end on the 29th of June 2020, so the end of this month, certain information under the BOSS Act will need to be reported by the 29th of December. That will need to be done via the beneficial ownership secure search system. The information set out in section 10, section 3 of the Act, and it's referred to as the prescribed information.
That's interesting, Elliot. Absolutely. And I think what I'd add to that is to say that for the smaller number of entities incorporated from the 1st of January 2019 onwards, they will need to report anywhere between roughly now and the end of the year, depending on their date of incorporation. So for an entity incorporated, say, in March of 2019, its sort of reporting date is going to be earlier than December of this year, and it needs to be ready to make that report accordingly. I think what I'd also say is that, and this is something that has been born out of some of the work we've been doing with clients, is that both the legal entity and the legal entity's registered agent will have obligations in respect of identifying and collecting this prescribed information. And so the key thing there is that entities need to understand that the registered agent only has a certain function, and it's the legal entity's responsibility to make sure that the information is correct and identified. Another thing I think entities could be thinking about is the context of their financial period as against any particular financial year that they may have. As some clients will know already, that the financial period in the British Virgin Islands for economic substance purposes is not necessarily the same as the financial year, as the financial period runs from usually June to June, and a financial year could run from, say, January to December. So I think where this is the case, legal entities need to ensure that any financial statements and accounts are up to date as at the end of the financial period, i.e. at the end of this June. So that's on my list for what entities should be doing now. Ellie, have you got any other takeaways?
Well, it is important to be aware that legal entities will have to report in relation to all relevant activities conducted in the financial period, even if the relevant activity is not ongoing at the end of the financial period.
Yes, that's very important. Thank you, Ellie. Darcy, do you have anything to add in respect to this particular period, June 2020?
Probably only one last point, Rupert, and this is a bit of a sting in the tail that people may have overlooked. So where a legal entity has established that it is carrying on a relevant activity and it's in the process of either discontinuing or modifying the activity, we would really recommend that this process be completed before the new financial period starts on 30 June 2020. If it's not, then the legal entity will be carrying out that relevant activity during the following financial period, even if it's only for a short time. And the upshot of that is it will have to comply and report on that relevant activity. Unfortunately, this may also have an impact on any penalties due. And here I mean if a relevant entity fails to carry out the relevant activity over two successive financial periods. So that concludes today's podcast. Eleanor and Rupert, do you have any final thoughts?
Thanks, Darcy. Yes, I think just two very quick takeaways from today's podcast. I think the first one is that the changes in the BVI that we saw in March are only temporary, and they're only a modest relaxation affecting that part of the test, the directed and managed test. So I think that's the first takeaway. This is not groundbreaking. This is not something which entities can consider a complete change or overhaul of the economic substance regime. And I think the second takeaway is that it's probably more important than ever to document the decisions that boards are taking, that employees perhaps in the business are taking in respect of the relevant activity being carried out. And so that if, to the extent the ITA requests evidence of that decision being taken in a particular way, that entities have that documentation easy to hand.
Thanks for that, Rupert. I would just add to that whilst hopefully most legal entities have already taken steps to establish whether or not they are carrying on a relevant activity and have taken action accordingly, if they haven't, they should definitely take steps now to help themselves avoid being penalised, and they should classify themselves as soon as possible. This is especially important for entities in the BVI whose financial period ends on the 29th of June 2020.
We hope you found this useful and you'll join us for the next podcast, where Rupert and Nick White will be discussing how the rules apply to intellectual property businesses.
This is a Charles Russell Speechlease podcast.